Welcome to Operationally Excellent Podcast, your benchmark for innovation, success, and entrepreneurship in the natural gas industry. Brought to you by Durant Benchmarking's Global Gas Transmission Benchmark, the GGTB allows gas transmission system operators to achieve their performance and efficiency goals by comparing their performance to that of their peers so they can identify the correct opportunities to focus on and plan effectively. I'm your host, Pavel Levy.
Power-to-gas has, for some time now, been proposed as a potential solution to the energy challenges that our societies will face in the future. More specifically, as a reliable alternative to manage the variability in electricity demand and its supply as renewable sources such as wind and solar continue to grow. However, how can a gas transmission system operator demonstrate to its customers, regulators, government institutions, and its own people that this technology has a viable large-scale future? This is the key question that GRT Gaz, the major French gas transmission system operator, had when it set out to draw up the plans for Project Jupiter 1000, the first large-scale power-to-gas demonstrator in France. When it is completed later in 2021, it will contribute 1 megawatt electric, inject 200 cubic meters per hour of hydrogen, and produce 25 cubic meters per hour of methane using a combination of two electrolysis technologies and a methanation and carbon capture process. But most importantly, if successful, we'll kickstart the power-to-gas industry in France and hopefully beyond. Today, we'll be talking to Sylvain Lemelletier, who was the project director for GRT Gaz responsible for the conceptualization of this project. We'll be asking Sylvain to tell us about how the project works, why TSO should be interested in these sorts of demonstrator projects, and the valuable lessons they have learned so far in their journey. Sylvain, welcome to Operationally Excellent.
Thank you. So glad to be with you.
Look, thank you for coming. Look, today we'll be speaking about the very successful and interesting Jupiter 1000 project. But just before that, could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, your role in GRT Gaz, and with this project, please?
Okay, no problem. So you'll have my face. So my name is Sylvain Lemelletier. I'm partnership delegate in RICE. RICE is a research department of GRT Gaz. We are 100 in this research department, and we develop projects for infrastructure operators, transporters, transport, gas distributors, LNG plant, etc. And so we can manage on many topics, for example, hydrogen topics. I'm also a project director of Jupiter 1000, and I pilot this project for GRT Gaz. And I have another function, a lateral function. I'm president of the French Power to Gas Club, which is located in a French association, which is ATEE. And you have my coordinate on Twitter also on this slide. And so I will tell you about Jupiter 1000.
Thank you for that introduction. Could you please now tell us a bit about the project itself?
Oh, yes. First of all, GRT Gaz is a gas transporter in France, and it operates 32,000 kilometers of pipe. And the project is located in Marseille, just in the south of our grid. Okay. The project is deals with electrolysis of renewable power up to make green hydrogen. And this hydrogen can be injected in the grid directly in the grid, or it can go through a methanation plant. That means that we transform hydrogen plus CO2 in methane here. And we produce methane. And the project will allow us to test both ways. And we think that both ways have got a future. So we have to experiment both. Here is a project. The project is with many partners, and it will deal with two electrolyzers. These two electrolyzers will be one with alkaline and one with membrane. It will be produced by McPhee. These electrolyzers will consume electricity, and the electricity will be provided by CNR. CNR is a power producer which provides us renewable electricity. The electrical grid operator, RTE, it is a transport operator, is in the project and will help us on economical topics. The project will operate with the methanation. The methanation is a catalytic methanation, and it is provided and built by Chemod. And Chemod is helped by CEA. CEA is a research plant, big research plant, which deals with hydrogen topics, for example, and many other topics on energy. They develop a quite new methanation. Chemod is the startup. The CO2 will come from industry. We have decided to use industrial CO2, and it will be captured on a chimney. In siderurgy, it is correct in English? Siderurgy?
Yes.
Siderurgy industry. Then methane or hydrogen will be thrown in the grid. So Gertegaz develops the injection plant, and we have the participation of Terega. Terega is the second TSO in France, the second transport team in France. And we are both together on the gas system questions. For the global, we have a global project. We have the help also of Marseille Fos Harbor. The harbor developer helps us on the equipments for the land, the plant, roads, and to bring us water, for example. And also, he builds the CO2 pipes. CO2 between methanation and industry. Just a picture of the plant with a methanation reactor, electrolyzers. We have a station, supervision station, and the blending station, which allows us to throw it in the grid, and the grid passes just along the plant here, the real gas grid. And here it is a picture of the plant. The picture was taken this summer, and the methanation is arrived later. It is not yet on the picture. It arrived this summer.
Thank you for the introduction to the project, Sylvain. Next, could I ask you to tell us a little bit more about what the original aims for the project were, please?
Okay. So the aims of the project was to confirm that it was Provo2Gaz was able to answer the topics that we and answer the problems we should meet in the future. Is it able to start and stop very fast and to answer to the power grid difficulties with renewable, first of all? Is it able to be reliable? And technologies are they technically accurate or able to do the job? We had to validate. For example, is it alkaline or PEM? Do alkaline answer the speed questions, for example? Do PEM answer the reliability and efficiency we hope on such an equipment? So we have to experiment equipments and test them. And for example, we wanted to experiment whether the equipments give the efficiency that is announced by the builders. And when you have all the device around, for example, water treatment, electrical treatment, you have more equipment than the basic ones, so you reduce efficiency. So what is the global efficiency of the equipment? That were questions. And also, there are questions on a business model. The best way to work on a business model is to have a real equipment and to be able to federate some people around it, such as builders, such as equipment providers, and they will explain you what they will increase or better make in the future up to reduce the costs. So we had the business model questions. And we also wanted, and perhaps it is more important for a grid operator, we wanted to help the public authorities to help us with this kind of process. When it is only theory, it is difficult to project guys on this kind of project. So having a real thing to show to a politician, having a real thing to show to energy providers is the best way to convince and to study with them if there is a future or not for this kind of system. And we have also some other topics which are not on the slides. For example, as a grid operator, we wanted to be ready when our customers will come and tell us they want to build a power to gas. If we don't have experienced it, perhaps we will answer them, okay, we have many studies to do before we can inject hydrogen in our grid. So your question is very good, but you should wait for 3 or 4 years before we have made all the studies we need. So we wanted to anticipate this and to make our experiments and studies. For example, what are the effects of hydrogen when you inject it in the grid? So on this plant, we will answer just a part of the question, but it is the beginning of the answer. Second question for the industrial consumers: are there impacts with hydrogen? So on this project, we collaborate with the downstream consumers up to analyze with them if there are impacts. We will inject just a few persons, so I'm quite sure and confident that there will be no impact. But it is also a way to discuss with our customers and to give them confidence in what we do and to help them to project themselves in the future and to study the impacts of hydrogen with us. So many topics like this. Another topic, for example, was to study, to prepare the engineering. How do we create an injection plant? How do we prepare the mixture of hydrogen and methane? How do we measure it? Are our counters reliable? What kind of chromatography analyzer do we have to use? So many, many topics we had to study for this project, and now our engineering team is ready. For all TSOs who want, our engineering team is ready to work for you if you need. Another question also was for our grid operators. The guys on the grid had to be prepared with hydrogen arrival. So making an experience is a way to have a few guys which are ready to study how to operate, safety measures do we have to take. What rules do we use when we operate hydrogen? It is not our usual gas we use, so it is a way to prepare our teams for the future. So you see, there were many, many topics, the official ones and many other ones which were expected on this project.
Thank you for that. Now, we understand that the project is not yet finished and that commissioning will be finished in 2021. However, you have been involved in this throughout many years now. So we're wondering if there have been any lessons that you have learned that you might want to share with other TSOs who are perhaps thinking of power to gas or similar projects?
As you told me, the project is not completely finished. For example, the methanation is settled here now, but the CO2 pipes is not built yet. We have a delay on the CO2 pipe building. So the methanation does not run yet. So there is a topic which will be with not yet any lessons. And the electrolyzers, we had a delay on the PEM electrolyzer because there were a difficulty for the partner who built it. There was a modification to do. He settled it in the first electrolyzer was settled alkaline in February. Well, it runs since February. The second one arrived a few weeks later, but there was a modification to do, important modification, and due to COVID, it took time because we had to exchange between countries. He had to contact the US and difficulties to travel between US and France. So due to COVID, it took time. So PEM will run, I think, in February of 2021. So 1 year delay due to this modification. So the plant is not completely finished and is not completed. So we only started a few experiments this summer with one electrolyzer. But this period, even if we don't have any return of experience on the real functions of the grid, because it just starts to run, we have return of experience on engineering and building and difficulties to settle this kind of equipment. For example, the CO2, which seems to be something simple, it is a lateral produce. In fact, it is strategic and it is not so easy. For example, we are just near an industry and they have several chimneys, and we have decided to settle the equipment of CO2 capture on one chimney. And during the project, during a moment, the industry had economical difficulties. Perhaps it would close. Okay, what do we do? We don't have any more CO2. First question. After a while, it went on, no more difficulties. Okay, it goes on. And the questions were, how perhaps this heater will be stopped due to technical decision, internal decisions of the factory. So second and same effect, no more CO2 perhaps. And after a while, the industry decided that his heater will go on. So we see that CO2 is not so simple and can be missing at a moment if your provider has a problem. So one of the big things we have run is that in a real life, perhaps it would be far better if you have several sources of CO2 and a little grid which connects several sources to several consumers. So you have to make your CO2 provider reliable. Okay, we had decided at the beginning of the project to use industrial CO2 because for the main reason that we think there is a big discussion on this. If you use renewable electricity and gray CO2 made with fossil, is your hydrogen you produce, or methane, sorry, is it methanation, is the methane you produce green or not green? In our opinion, it is green because the CO2 you use should go in the air. If I do the same plant and I take the CO2 in the air, everybody thinks it is great, it is green, it is very fantastic. And this CO2 is quite the same than in the chimney, just of my neighbor. If I take it in the chimney, I reduce the cost because it is far more concentrated. I reduce the cost and I just capture my CO2 a few seconds before it goes into the air. So for us, it is the same. And we think it is a big debate. It is a big question which should be treated at the European level up to give a status to this CO2 when it is captured on a chimney. If we don't give the status of green methane when you use gray CO2, if we don't give the status of green methane, nobody will capture CO2 because it will have no status, it will have no interest. And you will be only able to make power to gas with methanation if you are connected very near to a biomethane plant, for example, where CO2 is green. And it would be a way to close the door to big power to gas plants connected to industry. And the global efficiency of the system is better if you do the big, of course, and it is a way to treat CO2 and to reuse it. If you calculate the global, ratio of CO2, it is just as if I use CO2 from a chimney and I use it again, the methane I produce will take the place of a molecule of methane I won't have to extract from the ground. So it is a win. It is a win for the environment. If I don't give a gray status to the CO2, I close the door to this way, and this is a pity. So we did it on purpose to take industrial CO2, but there are problems of reality, of reliability, sorry. And it is a topic we have to be aware. Second thing we learned is that we had to study many things. So the first power to gas plant, when you study everything, is very expensive because you spend hours and hours to discover everything. For example, here you think the mixing plant for us as a grid operator, we made a mixing plant, we made a laboratory for the when you make your first one, you spend hours for engineering because you learn everything. And it is a good way to learn, to be on a demonstrator, which has no real commercial objective. Okay, we can stop for a while, we can be a little late. It's not a problem because we learn, and the main objective is to learn and to show it. So it's not a problem here, but it costs more, and it is a good way to progress. I think demonstrators are very, very important before you go to industry, because everybody grows and you can share with your partners with far less stress than a big industrial plant. And it is very good for everybody. So we learn many things. For example, today we have somewhere here a valve which is out of order. And the plant is stopped for these days. It will be repaired just after Christmas holiday, because of a detail of a motorization. So we learn on our equipment, on our engineering. We had many topics also on the data exchange with our partners, because when you are here on this kind of grid equipment, you are connected to the methane grid. You are connected to the electrical grid. And we have decided in this project that the leadership, the piloting, the orders to start and stop should be on the electrical side, because it is the electrical producers tomorrow which will give the order to start or to stop this kind of equipment. And today the orders are sent by some partners, and there are some topics with data exchange. It is just because we are used to be on our own as a grid operator, and usually our orders come from our national dispatching center. And here, orders come from outside. So we had some, for example, cyber questions, cyber safety questions, and we had to treat them. So we had a little delay due to connections. That's an example. So today we learn many, many things on engineering. Our partners learned also. For example, electrolyzer's part, there was a mistake, not a mistake, there was a change to do in the conception due to a bad conception point on the PEM electrolyzer, so they had to modify. And they learn. It is a good way for them because it is demonstrators. There are no commercial penalties if you are late. So they can experiment, build, and progress. On methanation plant, we had a call last week. They have ideas to modify, to even if it is not yet settled, they have already some ideas to make some modifications during the project, up to reduce capex, up to reduce the cost of the equipment. And so it is great. They can experiment them tomorrow on the project because it is an experiment, because it is a demo plan, because it is a good way to for them to progress and tomorrow to sell the electrolyzer with more efficient ratio between investment and the production. Okay. Another topic we had to learn also was the relationship with authorities. The French authorities, which can give you the authorization to settle a plant, okay, safety authorization. They also had to exchange with us because it was the first power to gas plant. So it is an hydrogen plant. Even if a big advantage of this kind of plant is that you have nearly no storage for hydrogen. You see, the little storages, there is one here for methane and a few storages for hydrogen, but it is only little quantities due to modulation of the plant. It is operational storage, in fact, and there is not a big storage. So there are very few danger impacts for danger. Here you see the limit of the plant, and the safety studies tell us that the danger goes not out of these limits. But this kind of question had to be discussed with the authorities because they were prudent for the first plant. It is, of course, new, so they have to learn also. So discussions of on the safety rules with authorities is also something we could learn through the project with them and make them progress and make everybody be ready for the first real industrial plants.
Thank you for that very interesting oversight of the project and what the lessons learned have been. If people are interested in learning more about Project Jupiter 1000, how can they do so?
First of all, they can go on the project website. It is www.jupiter1000.eu or .com. It works also. So you can find the website. You can contact me, of course. When COVID will be finished, you will be able to visit it. We also make many conferences on the plant, of course. When the project will be finished, it will run still for nearly 3 years. When the project will be finished, we'll, of course, publish some studies with our partners, the results of the plant, efficiency, economic studies, environmental studies. We will publish on the project.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Sylvain, thank you so much for joining us today on Operational Excellence. It was great talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us at Operationally Excellent. If you'd like to hear more episodes or you'd like to participate in the podcast, please visit us at durandbenchmarking.com/operationally excellent.